This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studio, so when you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Excited to hear from you. The question is, if you're the general manager of the Packers, what do you do with Aaron Rodgers? I do absolutely nothing other than try to talk to him, maybe figure out a way that we can restructure a deal or give him some new guaranteed money, if that's really what this is all about. But I don't trade him, and I make it very clear to him that I'm not trading him. I give him the same treatment that the Houston Texans gave Deshaun Watson when we were still talking about it, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, if it's me, I'm standing pat and preparing for the season as though Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback and talking about it when he is ready to talk. Because clearly there's stuff Aaron needs to get off his chest. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can answer the question. And Brian's going to put up a spot on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as on our Facebook page. We've got more from Peyton Manning as the intern. I've also got, you're not going to believe this, the crazy thing that Penny has figured out how to do. That dog is too smart for her own good. I don't know how she knows, but she knows. And a couple of other goodies that will drop in before we wrap up the work week. But right now, we're pleased to welcome former NFL Executive of the Year, former General Manager for the Saints and Dolphins, also spent some time with the Seahawks in their front office, Randy Mueller, who is one of our favorite guests here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Randy, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in a couple of minutes, because I can't wait to hear what you have to say as a former GM. But we're just coming off this main event where every team has a big schedule release party, and now it's a primetime special, right? And I've found it fascinating to hear from some coaches and players, what do they look for and whether or not they really pay attention at all. So I'll start there and ask you that same question. When you first see your schedule for the upcoming season, what do you look for?
Well, I would just say this about the schedule. For most NFL employees on the inside, it's insignificant. It's really, I mean, you've known who your opponents are going to be for a long time. But having said that, I mean, you obviously want to know who you open against. I always looked at the back end to see how we were going to finish, right? Because I always thought we'd be in the hunt and the last 2 or 3 weeks would be really a priority for us. So I wanted to see if we finished with maybe 2 out of 3 at home. You know, so that was an issue. I also think you go right to where your bye is as an employee. You want to know where your bye is. You hope it's not too early, maybe not too late, you know, somewhere in the middle. That's always the hope. And then just like every fan, you want to know where your national TV games are, right? You want to know the big games, the Monday night games, the Sunday night games, things that might affect your calendar or your planning, that's for sure. Having been, you know, in Seattle for almost 20 years, we always looked at where our East Coast trips were, and maybe a couple of them would be back-to-back so we could stay back there, right, and maybe not have to travel back and forth all the time. So there's some interesting things to it. I never thought we'd get to the point where there'd be a 3-hour special on announcing the schedule, that's for sure.
Right. And not just that, but setting up multiple sets at SoFi Stadium and having, I don't know, about 36 voices as part of the schedule release on NFL Network. I'm glad you mentioned bye, because that was actually something that I looked at, the schedules that I happened to glance at. But when we're moving now to the 17-game slate, I kind of feel bad for those teams that have a bye in week 5 or 6, because after that, it is a long haul through week 18.
It is a definite long haul, and you're right. That's why I mentioned it. You didn't really want your bye to come too early. But here's the thing. A bye is a bye. You're going to get healthy whether it's week 6 or 7 or whether it's week 12 or 13. So it's going to serve some benefit for you. The other thing is, now with all the Thursday night games that happen all year long now, that's a mini bye after that, right? So you get 10 days off after one of those. So that's like another bye. So that can be used a little bit to your favor. I think it helps motivate guys to want to tape it up 3 or 4 days after they just played again, because they know they're going to get 10 days afterwards before they have to play again. So coaches find ways to deal with this time. I do think it's interesting with the 17-game schedule now, you know, all of the – I think there's going to be some changes. I think there'll be some load management. I think there'll be some different ways you can steal a few plays or a series here to where you can maybe make it for your players still a 16-game season for the most part, just because I think you have to. You've got to find a way to be healthy for the last month of the season. And I think this 17-game season, although it's new, I think you're going to find teams being somewhat innovative as to how they take care of their players, especially the older teams, the ones with a lot of veterans.
Meaning we might see some creative lineups maybe in that final month of the season, depending upon how things shake out?
Well, I think mainly in the first half of the season, you might be able to steal. Let's just say there's 60 plays in a game, you know, and you've added 60 more now with week 17. You might steal 5 or 6 plays for a veteran receiver, or it's hard to do on the offensive line, but you might see it. You'll definitely see rotations and more of a wave type, really a wave type group of players, like changing up lines, almost like hockey, so to speak, just to save wear and tear on people for that second half of the season. I think it'll be one to follow, that's for sure, because I don't think everybody will attack it the same. But I think you'll see players getting bigger chunks of rest in the first half of the season, especially trying to keep them fresh for that last month of the year.
Interesting. Lots of strategy that will come into play here, because it's definitely different first year with the 18 weeks, but the 17 games. Randy Mueller is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We always enjoy picking his brain as a former general manager with New Orleans and Miami, former executive of the year in the NFL. So, Randy, post-draft, because that's another huge event now, and so many fans focus on the 3 days or even just the first round and all the hoopla, and this year it's in Cleveland, and my gosh, there's bands and there's an MC at the stadium. But what happens post-draft? What are the first few things that you do as you think about your new rookie class?
Well, I think you've got to supplement it. That's the thing. Not everybody got all their issues solved by drafting 4 or 5, or in some cases 6 or 8 rookies, that's for sure. In this year, I think there's still talent on the street because of the fact that the pool was deep to start with, because the salary cap was reduced. So it's a reflection of more players still on the street looking for jobs. I think a lot of these GMs now are still honing their rosters, not to mention they're getting ready for a mini camp and their off-season program. That, you know, we'll see how much of that actually gets done face-to-face, but it sure looks to me like the world is kind of opening up a little bit now. And if the vaccination percentages are there, you're going to get to do a lot more as a club. So there's definitely some incentives for the vaccines. There's definitely being some of it being pushed at the league level. It sounds like they're planning on having full stadiums when the fall starts. So it'll be interesting. But you've got plenty to do on your GM plate. And the end of May, guess what? You're starting to prepare for next year's draft. There's combine meetings at the end of May, 1st of June, where you're going over with the national combines lists of players to prepare for next fall. So there's really no rest for the wicked. You're right in the grind all the time. You got to get your draft pick signed, which isn't as big a deal as it used to be, but there's plenty of things still in front offices that keep them busy. And not to mention, you may be tweaking your own staff a little bit during the month of May. The month of May is really the equivalent of the month of January for coaching staffs, the amount of change that happens around the league. So that's the time for that as well.
How do you know when you're watching a rookie step into your system and try to get acclimated? How do you know when he's ready for the big time, so to speak, for the NFL stage?
You know, I think the biggest thing is when you see the speed of the game not affect them. Most of the time, these rookies are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing half the time, and they're thinking all the time. So you don't get to see the real evaluations until they actually figure out what they're doing. So that level of learning, that level of development is different for every player. It's different at every team, and it's different for every coaching staff because the teaching and the amount that you throw at these guys just overwhelms them to start with. And then who can start, you know, feeling more natural quickly is how you determine who's going to fit in quickest on your roster. So I just think it takes time. Some guys you're sitting on for 2 years and you still don't think they can figure it out. So I think that's why the drafting of these players was different this year, because you couldn't gather all the intel that you normally do. Mm. The background, the character, the different ways guys learn. You have all that information in a normal draft. This year was kind of disjointed. So I think it's going to be harder for the development of players. One, you're not going to be able to have the information going in. And two, the off seasons now are so disjointed that development takes a hit as well. So veteran teams, veteran players, they're going to come to the forefront. I think these rookies are going to have a hard time, but I think this year might be better than last year in that I think we'll actually get some face-to-face time with these guys later this spring, early in the summer.
So when we think about the San Francisco 49ers situation and how often we've heard from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch that the team is better with Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting QB, obviously the caveat being health. But, of course, they've drafted a quarterback. They moved up in a big trade to get him. But from a general manager's perspective, does it make you giggle just a little bit when there's so many people willing to throw this young rookie into the fire when you've got a veteran who at the very least has been on the Super Bowl stage?
Yeah, that's a great point, Amy. And yes, I giggle all the time when I hear that. Let's get him in there right now. Got to happen right now. You know, we got to win this second. I got news for you. That veteran quarterback is going to go a long ways toward winning more and quickly than this rookie is, that's for sure. But I understand the new shiny toy. Everybody wants to see the new car. I get it. But the best thing for that kid's development is if he doesn't have to play a snap all year. Mm. People think that, you know, there's five quarterbacks in this year's draft, all worthy of being first-round picks. All are not equal. For me, the first couple, yes, they can play right now. Quarterbacks 3, 4, and 5, in any way you had them rated, doesn't really matter. I think they all need a little chance to get their feet wet and to learn. And I just don't think that everybody's ready the minute they show up. And I don't think it benefits your franchise for sure. So many of these quarterbacks that get picked early in the draft, they become organizational failures or successes. So that's everything around them, per se, is going to go a long way toward determining who's good and what time frame that happens in.
Mm. Randy Mueller with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Do you think then that it's a positive that we have preseason games back just for the sheer opportunity of being able to evaluate what teams have on their rosters?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It makes it easier for decision makers at the NFL level, for sure. Last year, they made teams out and really cut rosters without ever playing football. Cool. I mean, some of these guys, they didn't even crack an egg, and they had to decide who was physical, who was going to tackle, who was going to do this and that, and they never, ever did it. So it was just a projection. If you can play in preseason, you can solve a lot of those questions by actually letting guys play football. Imagine that. So it's going to make it easier on teams. Hopefully they can still protect some of their veterans, but everybody needs a little sharpening, right? Again, it comes back to the speed of the game. There's one thing for a speed in practice. There's another thing for speed of the game in preseason. Then the next step up is the regular season and then the playoffs. So it's like a car with four gears, right? You just shift your way up, and if you can, you know, have preseason, everybody feels a little better, that's for sure.
Well, then when do you guys get any type of time off? There's got to be some, I don't know, long weekend, maybe a 4-day stretch on the calendar. I know the NFL never, ever wants us to miss it. But when do you guys get a chance to breathe?
Oh, I think in June, everybody kind of tries to wrap things up by the mid to late June, and you get that first couple weeks in July free. Everybody needs to be free. In fact, I wrote a piece today for my website, MuellerFootball.com, where I'm actually agreeing with the NFLPA and their stand on the hill of hey, we need to reduce our off-season programs. I totally agree with that. There's some mechanism that just says enough's enough, right? We need to let these guys get away from it. In fact, we should legislate getting our coaches away from it too, so they can have a real life and come back with a little different state of mind mentally, come back for camp in July. So I'm all for that. I think they should get away. It varies from team to team and staff to staff, but I'm all for getting away if we can. So wherever I was, I always made sure we could get away for some amount of time.
Mm. So, Randy, one of your former teams, the New Orleans Saints, is entering this brand new era. And I know Sean Payton's still there. And, of course, he's got two quarterbacks that were on his roster last year. And Taysom Hill has had a few years with him. But, man, it's completely different post Drew Brees, or really post any Hall of Fame quarterback, from a team perspective. How does it feel?
Well, it's definitely a big adjustment, there's no doubt. But here's the thing. Drew has missed time the last couple years a little bit. So the quarterbacks that they have, it's not like they're starting from scratch. Taysom Hill's been there. Jameis Winston's been there now a year. So those guys have a feel for what they're going to be asked to do. I think where the Saints' biggest issues are going to come is the lack of depth that they had to give up because of the salary cap. You know, they were the one team that was almost $100 million over the cap when they had to be compliant in February. And so they've reduced their roster way back, and it really is going to affect them depth-wise, I think. They'll still be good with their first 22, 25 guys. They're going to have some depth issues to fall back on. They're not going to have those depth issues that they've had in the past where they could just plug in another player. They've done such a good job of building their roster. Obviously, they still have the two guys and Drew to replace, and mm-hmm. I guess time will tell. You know, I think Sean is confident in those guys, or he wouldn't have picked them. I think there's part of me that really thinks Sean Payton is looking forward to these two new quarterbacks, and just kind of like a mad chemist, right? He wants to figure out what he can get away with, what he can build in for these guys. And I think he'll be excited to see what the options are as they present themselves come training camp. I think they're happy they're going to get preseason.
All right, Randy. So that may be the situation with Sean Payton and the Saints, looking ahead to a new challenge, a brand new adventure post Drew Brees. But I am confident the Green Bay Packers do not want the same adventure of having to replace a future Hall of Famer, especially not right now without any preparation. Of course, talking about the Packers, their drama with Aaron Rodgers. So give you a second to think about it. Not that you need a second. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, and then I'll ask you, Randy, what do you make of what's happening in Green Bay? And the same question I'm asking my listeners, what would you do if you were the GM of the Packers? Thanks so much for joining us, Randy Mueller, former NFL Executive of the Year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The Packers have the reigning NFL MVP, but their quarterback is disgruntled at best, and at worst will refuse to play for them again, though it's hard to know what's truth and what's speculation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're spending a few more minutes with Randy Mueller, 2000 NFL Executive of the Year, former general manager with the Saints and Dolphins, and spent years in Seattle's front office as well. All right, the million-dollar question, because this is your area of expertise, Randy. Thanks so much for hanging on. What do you make of everything we've heard coming out of Green Bay, and what's a standoff of sorts between the Packers and their star QB?
Yeah, it's definitely been a mess, that's for sure. I think that's probably the best term. It's been a mess. It's been cumbersome, but it's been something that's been there. I'll be honest. I wrote about this a year ago after the draft of Jordan Love. I just felt like this was going to be a problem at some point, and I agreed with Packers. I think it's great that they drafted him, but they just didn't handle it very well, right? The GM, the president, everybody, you know, that's a place that doesn't have an owner. So there's no Robert Kraft to come make peace between the coach, the GM, the star players. They don't have that. So I just don't know if the Packers have ever valued their stars because there's no owner, right? They have advantages because they're a publicly owned team, but they also have disadvantages. And the billions of dollars that Robert Kraft has made, he understands who's buttered his bread. When Tom Brady wasn't happy that Garoppolo was there, guess what? Tom Brady went right to Kraft, and the next week he was traded. They don't have that option in Green Bay just because of the structure of their ownership. So it's been a mess. I think it embarrassed Aaron last year when the quarterback got picked and he knew nothing about it. I don't think it's a coincidence that he leaked this information and it kind of came back to the Packers the morning of the draft this year where they were embarrassed as well. How this thing gets solved, I don't know. I mean, I think the two have to be independently dealt with. I said for the last 6 months, they ought to find a way to sign Aaron Rodgers. And now, because he's the MVP, guess what? The price of poker is way high. It is way high. So the only thing that maybe solves it all is throwing money at Aaron Rodgers. You got to make him the highest paid guy in the league, and so be it. He did play like it last year. So maybe that solves it. I don't know. If they do end up trading him, it's not going to be till September. So we haven't heard the end of this story for sure.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that, Randy. And Randy Mueller's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio, former executive of the year in the NFL yourself. If it's me, and I'm obviously not a general manager, nor have I ever pretended to be one, but if it's me, there's no way I trade him. I call his bluff. If you want to retire after an MVP season, if you really think you're done playing football, okay, well, then I guess we throw Jordan Love in there earlier. But I'm not trading you to another team in the NFL. I just don't. That, to me, makes no sense. However, let's just say you're in Brian Gutekunst's shoes. How do you handle it?
Well, I agree with you. I wouldn't want to have traded Aaron Rodgers on my tombstone, that's for sure. And that's a bad position to put Brian in. It's probably not fair. But when they drafted Jordan Love, they thought they had control of the Aaron Rodgers exit plan. He kind of disturbed that by playing good, which in a sense is good news in itself. But they're going to have to find a way to exist without Aaron Rodgers. They thought it wouldn't have happened for a couple years. Well, now it's happened. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough deal. Not trading him, I understand that. I don't think if they do trade him, it'll be until September. But here's the thing. Without Aaron Rodgers, this is not a Super Bowl team.
Right.
So they would have to get something back, and I don't believe in the draft picks back make it well either. They would have to get a quarterback back. They would have to get a couple of proven players back. Some assets that make us still a Super Bowl contending team. So short of that, I don't know how it works out. Either he becomes rich or they get multiple players back that we can still, you know, for the good of the team, say we're a Super Bowl contender. I just don't know about that.
Gosh, I guess if it's just money, well then.
They have it. Trust me, they have it.
Oh, my goodness. So is there anything else that as we head into this off season where it might be a little quieter, that it really sparks your interest?
Well, I think the other thing that people are talking about now is the Tim Tebow signing in Jacksonville. Right? we assume that's going to happen, and we all chuckle at that. But, you know, that's a whole nother topic for another story or for another show probably. But I do have a little bit of a question when Urban Meyer brings something like this to the table. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't know what the upside is with Tim Tebow. I understand that he's a Jacksonville kid and he might sell some tickets, but I just think that could risk alienating your locker room a little bit. Here's a guy that hasn't played for 8 years, and now we're going to prop him up as somewhat of a savior. I find it hard to realize that Urban Meyer, will he have the guts to cut him if it doesn't work out? So that's got a little traction throughout the NFL now. Mm-hmm. Players are sure weighing in on it. I see them on Twitter all kind of chuckling. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in Jacksonville.
So you don't think that there would be value to bringing in a guy like him to help establish Urban's system, considering that coach is now in the NFL where he's also never coached before?
Yeah, I see no carryover at all,
okay.
I'll be honest. He's not going to lead any men in that locker room. He's not going to help be a culture changer. I just don't think there's going to be a respect factor there, Amy. I just, you know, Tim Tebow playing tight end, he's never played it before. I think it's more of a slap in the face to the other tight ends and the other guys that are there that Urban would think this would even be possible. Let's just see. The upside is that he makes the team as your third tight end, right? So is he going to play on special teams? Is he going to do all that? I don't, you know, I just don't see there's enough upside here to upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Got it. I appreciate that perspective. So you can find Randy on Twitter at @RandyMueller_. And he's the 2000 NFL Executive of the Year, formerly a GM of multiple teams and lots of different hats. And we always appreciate the peek behind the curtain when we get a chance to talk to you, Randy. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
All right, Amy. Thanks a lot.
Interesting from Randy. I'd kind of been looking at the Tim Tebow potential as an Urban Meyer ally, an Urban Meyer disciple, so to speak, in the locker room. And Randy, who's been in many locker rooms and, of course, has built teams and rosters in his past, says that there's no way that the Jacksonville Jaguars locker room would listen to a Tebow, not because of him personally, but because he's 33, because he's never played the position, because the way it's viewed is that this is, I don't want to say nepotism because that's not fair, but this is an Urban Meyer signing that wouldn't happen anywhere else in the NFL. And so in that case, he's saying, why would these guys have any respect for Tebow when they don't really feel like, fair or not, they don't feel like he's earned the position and hasn't had to come the same route as everybody else or most of them have. So that's, I appreciate that perspective. That's one that I've heard, not from, I've heard it from fans, but not heard it from someone who's actually been in a position where he's built the roster. So that I appreciate. And also food for thought about Aaron Rodgers. The fact that the Packers don't have an owner who can step in and say, bottom line, this is what we're doing. We're going to pay the guy, or we're going to trade the guy, or blah, blah, blah. But he seems to be of the mindset. Now, he did admit, I don't know how this works out, but he seems to be of the mindset that you pay him. So if you're the general manager of the Packers, what do you do? I would say that's right. You know the salary cap is going to bounce back in 22 and beyond because of the brand new TV contracts that will infuse big time bucks into the NFL again, as if the league needs more money. But yeah, that balance with the salary cap is coming. And even if it's just principle of the thing and you don't like seeing quarterbacks make $70 million in guaranteed money, if that's what it takes to keep Aaron Rodgers, hey, it's just money.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.